Hella high took over me, dearest.
Hi, I'm Kai, aka Adi.
And welcome to Thought Digest, where we
amplify conversations
one thought at a time.
Happy month end, Nina.
Happy month end,
guys.
Y'all.
I felt like June was long. June was bloody long. I'm so glad it's over. Not to say it was a bad month.
No, it was a
felt
bad month.
Hella long.
It was a really bad month.
Okay, like, life update.
Exam season, like it was rough, guys. It was rough. I'm barely alive. That's all I want to say. Like. All I want to say is don't come to accounting unless, like, this is all you want to do and you're so, so sure. Because the journey, it's not easy, man. It's not easy. Yeah, that's what I want to say.
You're speaking, but you're saying nothing. You know
no, that. I'm just saying, like, guys, my exam season was exhausting.
Yes, now you're speaking.
It was very exhausting, guys. It was so exhausting. You know how it is, like, we write 4-hour papers and we write, I think, 2 weeks, 4-hour papers. And it's really exhausting, guys. That's all I want to say. Like, the workload is insane. Like, you barely get any rest because immediately when you're done with the one paper, you're preparing for the next paper. And it just takes away a lot from you. And then they already released the...
marks?
No, not the marks, but it's worse than the marks.
The rankings?
No, not yet.
The memo?
Yes, so... and they're forcing
sorry,
us to...
Sorry, it's not funny.
They're forcing us to reflect. So I think you get, like, a... to get your 2% reading mark or whatever, like, you know, 2% mark to provision for any mistakes, you have to do this reflection. So you have to mark yourself and then submit the mark you marked yourself on the Google form and then why you got that mark, what did you do in this semester, and what are you going to do in the next semester to make it better. So I, dumb as me, went and said, oh, let me just scroll through auditing, right? The memo for auditing. Yo, I saw an RI. I did not write anything RI related. I did not even see, like, now that I know it was an RI, I see it being an RI. An RI is a reportable irregularity. You don't need to know. So it's like, now that I know that it's what it was, I see it. But now I'm beating myself up for not being able to see it in the exam.
That's
because
torture.
Those were easy marks. You know these high-level marks? That RI was like an easy low-level mark. So if I'm still struggling to get low-level marks now in June on my second attempt, I'm literally like in the gutter. Like, I'm so in the gutter, guys. I'm so done with this.
Girl, you're halfway. You can't speak like that.
So I'm in the gutter. And the thing is, I think for me, what's like discouraging me the most is that I know that I will pass CTA. Mm-hmm. I just am afraid that I won't pass well enough to be a academic trainee. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to go...
that's what you want to do next year.
Yeah, I don't want to go into audit. I don't want to go into the workplace immediately. Mm-hmm. I want to go into academia, like being like a tutor in the university for like a year. And I feel like that would give me time to kind of see how I would integrate corporate with Thought Digest, with everything else that I'm doing, everything else I plan on doing. And I think I need that job description in order to be able to like plan out the next 2 years of my life type of vibes. So if I don't get that, I'm just diving straight into corporate and I don't want to go there anytime soon. So, and also I genuinely feel like I would have much more fun in academia than anything else. I sit on this couch educating every day, so it would be so fun to educate. Like, saving isn't just about money, it's about what that money gives you: freedom, peace of mind, a soft place to land. Absa Saving Coach, the latest innovation from Absa, is designed to make saving fun and easy. You name your goal: study fees, travel, a mental wellness retreat, and you decide how to get there.
Want to save a little every time you reach a personal goal? You can do that too. It's intentional, flexible, and all available on Absa's banking app. So go ahead, save in a way that fits your life with Absa's Saving Coach. Absa is an authorized FSP and a registered credit provider.
I think it's best to not jump the gun. Just see the degree through.
And whatever happens at the end, you make your decision accordingly, you know?
Yeah.
Because that one of what could happen, what may or may not happen, what might happen, hey, that will throw you in the gutter faster than
anything else.
Anything else. The possibilities, what could and couldn't be, hey, you'll be dead before you know it, girl.
Yeah, that's true. So just,
besides school?
Yo, guys, I thought I met a boy and I didn't meet a boy. No, guys, at this rate, Ingia, I'm unsubscribing to, like, Mjolo.
What happened?
Like, it's not anything bad that happened. It's just, like, I'm very tired of, like, these. You meet someone and then, what's your favorite color? And then you meet someone and then, what's your favorite color? Like, it's so exhausting and I'm so tired of it to the point that I'm, like, I think I've had enough. What's your favorite colors for the year? I think I'll try again.
You only had one.
No.
Three.
What's your favorite colors?
Where I mean?
Yakumbula, there was the January person during Jan, Feb, during that time of the year. And then there was, there was Jan, Feb during the time of the year. And then the second, what's your favorite color? It really doesn't count.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't count. And that's why, like, I never brought it to you. And then this one, I think why this one made me want to unsubscribe compared to, like, the other two is I genuinely feel like, nothing bad happened. He didn't do anything wrong, per se. It was just, like, not the right time, not the right season. And I'm just like, yeah, no, I'm fine. I'm okay for the rest of the year. Like,
yeah, you're saying a lot, but you're saying nothing.
Okay, fine. So I've known of the guy since last year, but then we only started recently actually talking, and it was unexpected. It just happened, you know, and things just happen spontaneously, and we're talking and it's like, oh my God, we have so much in common, like values wise, interests, what we want to do, so on and so forth. Not even like long term, but day to day, what we do on our day to day is so in common, like, and it was just like so nice. Like, it was for the first time I felt very giddy. And normally it's like I don't luck out. Like, if I find someone whose personality and my personality gel, looks wise, I'm settling, you know. You know, or if the looks wise I'm not settling, the personality is not gelling. Oh, this boy is so handsome, y'all. He is so handsome. I actually, like, he may not be handsome for, like, I actually find him really.
May not be handsome for you guys.
But
disclaimer.
But no, like, everybody has a type. But he's really handsome, you know? And it was like, for the first time, I looked at somebody and I was like, And then I spoke to them and I was like, And then, yeah, shit didn't work out, you know. It didn't even get a chance to work out. And
how did it not work out?
How did it not get the chance to work out? Okay, cool. Chill, this couch. I hope he does not listen to this.
I'm not gonna listen to it, girl.
Okay, cool, fine, whatever. But anyways, so what had happened was, right, this handsome boy, smart boy, whatever. We're talking and, like, we're clicking, like, on a level like we didn't expect to click. And you know when you click on a level where you know that this relationship is not going to be a friendship? And then I then started asking then important questions. Like, oh, when was your last relationship? Because now I'm curious because I'm seeing that, you know, we're talking and the manner in which we're talking and how it's going, I'm starting to, like you. So I now want to know important things before I actually, like, say I'm diving in. So I'm like, okay, when was your last relationship? And then this is where the red flags started coming. Not red flags in him, but red flags in timing. His last relationship was a month ago. And the reason why it ended was because she left the country. So it's not even because of they fought and they're not any longer in love, 1, 2, 3. It's a circumstantial reason, you know. So he's still, and then to make it worse, he has had he had a long-term friendship with this girl before they even got into relationship. So their bond is very strong, like, was very strong, you know, and so on and so forth. And he even, like, admitted that, like, when he started speaking to me, he didn't expect the direction of the communication. Like when we started talking, didn't expect it to become this. And he knows for sure that he's not at the space where he can show up the best way for me, you know? And and I respect him being honest about that, saying that, you know what, I don't think I can show up the best version of myself right now, and you are an amazing person, and I actually really like you. And so I wouldn't want to come into it and ruin it, not because it didn't work out, but because I was not the best version of myself, you know? And I respect that, and that is so fair. But I was just like, shh, Lord, I can't, like, it can't be simple. It can't be simple for me. Like, it genuinely can't be simple. Maybe
you just need to learn to be patient.
And I guess maybe this is the season. This is what the Lord is teaching me this season. But, yeah, it was rough, guys. It was rough. So, yeah, that's what happened romantically. Like, I was like, oh, my God. And then I'm like, oh,
my God.
So now I just gotta like put that in the back burner. We're not communicating even because we can't communicate in a manner that's platonic. Like we really like hit it off, like it's crazy. So we're not communicating at all, and I'm fine with it. I'm okay. It was like a very hard week of adjustment, but I'm okay with it now. And it's like whatever the future holds, if it's meant to be, it will be. If it's not, it won't.
Okay, that's very mature. I like him already. If you're watching this, I like him from a friend. Become the best version of yourself and spin the block, okay?
Okay. That's if the block is still open.
The block is definitely still open. Please, she needs something other than school. Like, she needs.
No, like, all I got is work at school, yo. Yeah, I ain't got no love life at all.
I guess you can find enjoyment and fulfillment in other areas of life.
My friend is engaged, guys.
Who's Zah? Yes. Congratulations, Zah.
She's engaged. Congratulations. And I am so happy, guys. She told us this weekend. I'm so happy for her. Like, I cried so many times. I actually cry every time I deep it. Because for me, I don't want to... I know a lot of people will be like, oh my God, she's a beast of mine. It sounds so selfish. I cried because I felt like I'm losing her. Like, it feels like I'm...
You kind of are. She's now... First of all,
then she's my friend. Yeah. And worst part, like, he's not even from South Africa, he's from Belgium. So it's going, like, I'm losing her. Like, I'm losing my older sister, and I can't wrap my head around it. But I'm so
happy. She's still going to be there, just not for physically.
Her. Yes, but I'm so happy for her because he's such a good man. Like, he's such a good man. Like, rarely do I say this about a man. He's such a good man.
Oh, I'm happy for you too, Zah. Congratulations. Go to Belgium. We'll come visit you.
Yeah, we'll come visit you. And it's nice because his family owns a sanctuary. Oh. So he's like a very like traditional, like farm, like, you know, cowboy vibes.
Zah's going to be a farm wife.
Yes. They own a sanctuary. They have 400 animals. They have camels, horses, like baboons, like all the animals. Yeah. So that's what she has in her backyard.
Oh, girl, I'm definitely coming to visit you.
Yeah, like, it's going to be such a good time with our cowboy boots. We're going to have a time in Belgium.
Yes, congratulations. That's such wonderful news.
It is.
Also, it shows that we're old now, Everybody's getting
married.
Everybody's getting married. The thing about marriage that scares me is that you really do become a wife before everything else. And who was I talking to about this? I was actually talking to Clarissa. And her friend who recently got engaged, who recently got married, actually.
Because they traditional...
What is her name now? My goodness, how can I forget her name? But I was talking to her, I was saying, like, the idea of marriage is lovely, but I don't think I'm ready because I don't know if I want to stop being a daughter yet, you know? Like, my dad comes second now. You know, my mom comes second. My I don't know if I'm ready to stop. Not stop, but like, I don't know if I'm ready to no longer be the big sister first and just be a wife, like, cater to one person. I don't know. Like, what? Like, the thing is, I have to listen to my husband. If my husband says I can't do this, I can't do it. I can't go run to my dad every time. I'm not ready. The point is that I'm not ready. But that's such a lovely, lovely life update from Zah.
It is. She's lovely. I like Brown.
Even I want to marry her. The breakfast she made me.
Oh no, she is so lovely, guys. Zara's so lovely. Oh, wow. She's so lovely. And she wants to come to social media, but she's so scared. And I'm like, do it, girl.
Yeah.
She makes amazing food, guys. Oh my God, she's so lovely. Like, she's the best host, friend. Like, she's the best stranger you will ever meet. True. She's so welcoming to everybody.
She's got such a warm energy.
Yes.
Still on live update. How much time are we in?
Yo! I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, y'all.
Guys, okay, let me make mine quick. My life updates, span, and even more span. I'm always working. Mm-hmm. But
we see the daily is out now.
Daily, yes. The first episode went out 2 weeks ago, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Next episode, by the time this goes out, you would have seen episode 2, which I actually shot with Nadia Tijal. She did a fashion police segment on The Daily, which is really lovely, and she's obviously the perfect person to do fashion police. She's really lovely. I love Nadia. You're gonna meet her.
She's coming
at the live show. Ah. Yeah, you're gonna meet her. So The Daily is going really well. It was a long time coming. Like, it was something that I was brainstorming forever, and I finally did it. I think I did announce on The Digest a few weeks ago. But the response from my loved ones has been so encouraging. Like, I would get this past week, I got a voice note from Shaz, who's my derma esthetician. She's like, hey, dude, like, I don't care what happens in this life. Do not stop doing The Daily. And my editor also really loves it. And you know you onto something when your editor enjoys editing that thing. So I was just like, received a lot of encouraging messages. My partner's actually a little disappointed that I started so late, you know, because he was the one who's like, when are you gonna do this? And he's been wanting me to have my own show since last year even, but I've been procrastinating. But I'm so grateful for, like, my people, because they really, they've really been there. Even with the engagement on The Daily, it's crazy. Like, short form is going crazy. The video itself is doing pretty well for episode 1.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the highlight for The Daily for me has been just, like, the words of encouragement from my people. It's like, hey, you're onto something here. Don't stop doing it. You're doing great. Blah, blah, blah. Finally. Okay, nice. The Daily. Thanks. Go watch it. On my main YouTube channel, Kaya M, I do have a vlog channel too. So, yeah, if you like me vlogging and being like, cool, you can watch my vlog channel. But if you like The Daily and you like the funny comedic content, that's all the way over there. And then, what else besides work? That's it. That's literally it. That's my life update. I've just been working. I have found a real, true enjoyment for content creation. Because now I'm like, I think this year, I said this before, that this year has been really personal for me, like, proving my versatility point. And I've done that. And now I'm like, I've found my feet in terms of content. Like, this is where you're going to find this kind of content. This is where you're going to find that kind of content, that, you know. And I've established myself as a really versatile content creator. And now the rate is up. You get me? The price is no longer the same price. Last year's price is no longer the same price. Because you just know, like, The Daily, a feature on The Daily is a lot of money. Trust and believe that. A feature on my short form is a lot of money. Maybe on the vlog channel, I can slide you a little discount there, because the vlog channel is just a vlog channel, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, happiness. I was going through my gallery even a few days ago, and I was looking at 2023, like, end of 2023, and the kind of, like, prayers I was making then. And as I was reading them, I'm like, damn, they've been answered. Please excuse me. I have to answer. We're shooting. Okay, bye. Sorry about that, guys. Tinawan, you are preparing to stop being a daughter and a sister. I said preparing. Oh.
To be ready.
Preparing
to be ready.
Anyway, that's my life update. Guys, we haven't sat on the couch in a very long time. So please forgive our very long life update. Let's go into our girl chat.
So yeah, so today's girl chat is... Wait, give me a second. Guys, I'm so struggling with my memory. When did you realize you weren't a little girl anymore?
That's so hectic, man. This is the topic that I wanted to discuss with Ursula.
Yes, yeah. I remember. But due to unforeseen circumstances, me being an academic,
things that was very much foreseen, girl.
Yeah, guys. I'm fighting for my life. But anyways, when did you realize you weren't a little girl anymore? Mm. Was it when you got your first period? Was it when you got your first heartbreak? When was it? Okay, actually, firstly, before we get to when you realize you weren't a little girl, what is a little girl to you?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think naivete is definitely the first answer mm-hmm. to little girl. Immaturity is definitely second answer to little girl. And responsibility.
Mm. Lack thereof.
The lack thereof of responsibility. Mm. Was the third answer to little girl. So when did I realize I was no longer... a little girl was one when I realized my parents trusted my judgment. Mm. It was a shock for me. It's like one day you're not allowed into family secrets and then the next day you know all of them.
Yeah. The next day your input is...
Then they want to know what you think. I'm like, whoa. When did we jump the fence from me? Don't listen to grown people's business to now you are at the center of grown people's business. Hold on. But that's when I realized, when my mother started asking me for advice, it was like, when my dad started asking me for advice, I'm like, wait a minute, what is happening here? When they stopped, also it had to do, more than advice-wise, it had to do with my lifestyle as well. When they trusted my decision-making with my lifestyle. My parents do not question my lifestyle decisions now. They did back then. Growing up, they were helicopter parents. If I'm going out, I need the parent of the person's... Yeah. The person's parents' number. There we go. I need where we're going, when are we going there, when are we coming back, how are we going there, what's the budget, how much money do you have, do we need to pick you up, we're going to pick you up, we're going to make sure. Like, growing up, I was not allowed out, parties, mm-hmm. nothing, right? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it changed. Mm-hmm. Didn't ask me where I was anymore, asked if I was safe or when I'm coming home, but as for who I'm with, what I'm doing, don't really care. If I'm gone for a few days, 3 days, they don't really ask questions. And for me, that switch from helicopter parent to now letting you go was a bit difficult to take in, because I was like, what do you mean you're not blowing up my phone like you used to, right? Mm-hmm. But I came to understand that, oh, no, they trust my decision making. They trust the woman that they've raised, and they know that I'm not going to end up, you know, making rational decisions. So parents began to trust my judgment, had more responsibility naturally, you know, financial responsibility, responsibility over my own life. Oh my gosh, I knew I was a little girl. I knew I wasn't a little girl anymore when my life was in my hands. Oh, when my future was in my hands. And there's nothing my parents were doing initially I kind of was upset with them about it, but I realized they have to throw you in the deep end, you know? They have to see if you're going to be able to swim. Are you going to survive in a dog-eat-dog world? Are you going to be able to handle your finances? When you fail your module, you're going to pay for it yourself. Once you finish varsity, whatever fees are left over that we weren't able to pay, you're going to see that. You're going to see it through. So that kind of responsibility also made me realize I wasn't a little girl. Naivete, what ended my naivete was definitely a relationship, a long-term relationship that we've spoken about on the couch at length, yes. The one that rocked my whole world. Yeah. And that also made me realize that I'm not a little girl anymore. I'm got to fight my own battles. I've got to choose my own partner, and I have to choose him wisely. And whatever consequences come with choosing that person are mine to deal with. Mm-hmm. Not something I can run to my dad with and say, oh, dad, this man speaks to me like this. He's going to be like, why did you choose him? Because I don't speak to you like that.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
When I realized that I was, you know, following a pattern of picking men who treated me far beneath the standard of how my father treated me, I realized I was to blame for that, not my parents. But anyway, yappy yappy thong. That's when I realized I wasn't a little girl anymore.
And then for me, my next question is, at what age was that?
Definitely 19. Definitely 18, 19. Let me say 18, because that's first year. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then so that's 18. When you're like, you're no longer a little girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think same as you. I think mina I gilahli we shem good deep end.
Yeah.
Like I was also like thrown into the deep end. Like, guys, I am so responsible. Like, yes, my parents are very much big contributors to me sitting here today, but I'm very much responsible for me sitting here today. Like, I remember, like, even like with applying for varsity, like, I'm realizing my little sister is a bit more naive, and she has a little bit of like more innocence and lack of responsibility than I did when I was her age, you know. Because my sister now, I had to be the one. It's June. I was like, have you applied anywhere? And she's telling me no. And I'm like, what's going on? It's June, you know. When I was in grade 12, like, all my mother knew was I was asking her for 100 rands and sending her account. I had my own bank account. So I was asking her for like 100 rand for application, 300 rand for application, and she was just sending it to me. She didn't know where I applied, what I applied for, what was going on. Like, my mother had zero involvement in my decisions in life, even bursaries. My mom didn't even know if I'd apply for a bursary. She knew nothing of anything. I was the one who took charge of everything. So that's where responsibility came in. Like, I was the one in charge of like picking what happened to me and so on and so forth. I feel like even like with the bursaries and the choosing of my course and everything like that, those are decisions I needed to make myself, because I was the only one responsible for my future. Nobody asked me anything. And I feel like it's not because they were not good parents. I feel like they just trusted me with those decisions very early on. And then now I'm in varsity, I'm 18, I'm staying at Riz. I literally would call my mom and be like, hey, I'm going to the club. And she was like, okay, cool, just send me your location. And she's not even there, but I'm still calling her to let her know, you know. And like, also like just letting me out the house in that instance. I feel like the biggest, for me, the biggest day I realized that my parents are like, yo, we trust you, it's on you, you're no longer a little girl, was when the first Cape Town trip. Because I was like, my parents are going to definitely say no, you know? And I was like, guys, I don't have the funds. I don't have the money. And my parents are definitely going to say no. I was like, should I just borrow from like someone from the squad and go and not tell them and say nothing? But I'm like, that's so dumb, because it's going to be vlogged. They're going to see their daughter in Cape Town. So I literally remember calling my mom first. I called my mom first. I said, no, I called my dad first. I was like, hey, this is what I want to do. This is how much I need. And my dad is like, bet, I got you. He just said, be safe and tell your mom. I'm like, bet. Call my mom. I say, ma, this is what I'm doing. This is what I need. She's like, bet, I got you. Be safe and tell your dad. And I was like, the way they agreed to it so easily, there was no need to explain why YouTube is important, why this and this is important. They just said, we trust your decision making. Go on and do what you gotta do.
Yeah.
So I think for me, that was like when I was like, oh, damn, I'm no longer like a child anymore. My own person.
Was there a mental light bulb?
The mental light bulb was very early on. I think for me, my mental light bulb, and maybe why then my parents trusted me with my own decision making very, very, very early on. Because I remember my dad would leave and go to Venda for a month when I was staying with him, and I'll be at his place alone, but he knew he could trust me to be at his place alone. And it's because of, like, I think when my parents divorced. So when my parents separated, I saw it all happening. Like, I was very much aware. I saw everything happen. And then shortly after, my mom like I think a year or two after my mom gave birth to my little brother, and then he became my responsibility because my mom had to go to work and they couldn't afford a nanny. So I was raising a child, changing diaper. I was a teenage mom. Like, I know a teenage, when I say I hate teenage pregnancy and I don't encourage it, it's because I was a teenage mother. I may have not given birth to that child, but I was a teenage mother because I was the one picking up that child from school, changing their diaper, feeding them. Like, Chanel called me mom first before he called his own mother mom, because I was his mother, you know? And I think having that much responsibility in grade 8, like, I used to go to church holding Chianeo. Like, my mom never went to church, to a point where people at church thought, like, I was a teenage mom. And they were like, oh, shame, this teenage mom coming with their little child. Then when my mom came to church for the first time, they were like, hey, bo, was not a teenage... Like, that was a shocker to everybody that my little brother was not my child, you know? So, I think that's when the mental light bulb grew. So I lost my innocence, my naivety, my lack of responsibility at like the age of 13. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's... And then in terms of like then decision-making, trusting came then at the age of 18. Mm-hmm. So I lost a lot of my girlhood very early on. Yeah. And then that's why like people are like, oh my God, you're so mature. That's why my friends tend to be way older than me, is because... Yeah. I don't know what being a teenager is. I lost my child. I didn't have a childhood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually so funny. Like,
so why are you laughing?
I'm laughing because it's a really like, it's a common compliment. Like, oh, you're so mature for your age.
And no, you're just like, no, I just didn't have a childhood. Exactly. It's actually a trauma. Like, you shouldn't be happy at me being so mature. You should be concerned, you know? Like, I remember, like, you know, Zash, I love her down. Zash always like, she's the constant reminder that I'm still just a girl.
Yeah.
Like, she's the person who constantly reminds me of that. Like, even in the way I dress and the way I carry myself and the things I do, she's like, girl, you are just a girl. You are just a girl, you know? So, and I think that's how I refer to her as my bigger sister, because she's the only person in my life where I can be younger. I can act younger. I don't have to be the older person or in the same regard, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but shame, yeah. Lost, I don't know. And my mom, if you watch Mommy and Mom, you would see, but I haven't released episode 2 and 3, which is already short, funny enough. Mm-hmm. She did apologize for it because she acknowledged that she rid me of a childhood.
Oh, that's so lovely.
Yeah.
She apologized?
Yeah, she did apologize and acknowledge. Yeah.
That's beautiful. That's healing too.
It is healing because it kind of made me feel like I was not wrong in feeling that way. Because we had a lot of resentment. Like, I had a lot of resentment towards my siblings, towards her, towards my father. And I guess when she acknowledged it, it made me feel less resentful, you know. And I guess it's just the book of my life. And it's okay, yeah.
That's so beautiful. Do you know how rare it is for an African parent to say sorry?
To be like, I'm so sorry. Yeah, that's shame. Beautiful. Yeah, no, my mom, one thing about her, can like acknowledge when she's done wrong. I think, yeah, that's what I give her props for. Yeah.
Okay, guys, let us know when you realized you weren't a little girl anymore.
Yeah.
When was that switch for you? Was it easy to change your lifestyle accordingly, or was it hard? You know, to
realize it all.
I'm all on my own now.
I'm an adult now.
I'm an adult now. Let's play a game. 30 seconds.
Yeah, so today's game is 30 seconds, guys. You know how it goes. So I guess here it's like, if you can't describe that one person guess, like if I describe and you still can't guess even one of them, I lose. Like I get a minus point. So if you guess correctly... Okay. Guessing correctly gives you points.
Okay.
But failing to describe even one of the things on the card to me loses you a point.
Girl, what? Let's do it the simple way.
Okay, listen.
You describing, the points come to me.
Me, yes. For everyone you guess correctly, you get a point.
Yes.
Yes.
That's it. Like, what were you overcomplicating?
No, I was adding another rule, an addition to that rule. That if you fail to describe even one thing on the card for me, you lose a point.
Okay, which is highly unlikely, but okay.
Exactly. Are you ready?
Who's got the timer? Ruby, can you please get a timer for us there?
30 seconds, please.
My feet are so cold, they're turning blue. Sweat down. And it's just my feet that are cold.
Yes. Yeah.
You make me feel like, oh, I'm not going to sing that song. Nobody makes me feel like I've been locked out of heaven. Please, I'm back.
Oh my God, that's the lyric?
Yes.
For too long, oh Lord, I rebuke.
The rubbish we sing. The rubbish we sing.
Okay, he has locks, his Rastafari. Yeah. It's a movie with dinosaurs. It has one, two, three.
What the hell is that movie?
You know what? The next one, it's in Bloom. Like, it's in Bloom. It's not in Bloom, but like, where is Bloom? Bloom is in which province?
Girl, don't embarrass me. I do not know. And I did geography.
Okay, my sister. Free State.
What is that thingy? Jurassic.
Jurassic Park, yeah.
I'm like, jungle what?
Okay. Yeah. So she got one.
Okay, 3, 2. Where am I reading from? The yellow? Any side?
Yeah, any side.
Okay, that game with that
Pac-Man?
Yes. California is in which?
Miami?
No.
LA?
Actually, yes. No, it's LA is in California. Okay. Say it out. Say it
Los me. Angeles.
Yes. And then, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
It's a Christmas carol. Jingle bells, yes. Jingle bells. Okay.
That's it. That's all I know. We got three.
Okay.
I don't know the other two.
Okay, that was good describing, girl. I wouldn't say I described badly. She just couldn't guess that.
Oh, no, you didn't describe badly. I just Jurassic. My memory.
Yeah, that side was hard. Okay, it's ShopRite franchise, another one. Okay, ShopRite, what does ShopRite own? It also uses a smart shopper.
Boxer.
No.
ShopRite
it's green.
Pick and pay.
Green, no.
Green, Checkers.
Yes.
ShopRite, Checkers.
Yeah. Opposite of girls.
Boys.
Another word for city.
Town.
Put it together.
Boys town.
Our South African soccer team. The girl.
Banyana.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. I got four. You have three.
Yeah. She got three correctly.
Got three.
Banyana. Then the other two.
Okay. Never.
Ruby's being three. She's like, did she get it in time?
Those people that came to visit baby Jesus when he was in the manger.
The three wise men.
Correct. Where do you go when you're an addict? To recover.
AA. Uh-uh. Not rehab.
Yes. That show where people would fight and show their boobs.
Fight and show their boobs.
Fight for men, and people used to chant.
Jerry Springer Show.
Put an article in
the Jerry Springer Show.
That's all I know on the side. We got three.
Okay. Fight and show their boobs is crazy, guys. Can you believe TV used to be that?
They did. What was it called when they showed their boobs? Jerry something.
There was a
Jerry
name
Beans.
For...
Jerry Beans.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Show your Jerry Beans.
Oh my God. TV was wild back in the day, guys.
That guy.
Okay.
Ring a ring a rosie.
Yes. It's
I don't think that's allowed, by the way. Humming, I don't think is allowed, but anyway.
It's a chocolate. It has like air bubbles inside.
Arrow.
Yes. It's a school in Cape Town, not a high school. Like, where do you do your undergrad?
Oh, at a university, the University of Cape Town.
No,
Cape Town University.
The other one. It's in Cape Town.
Stellenbosch. Stellenbosch, not in Cape Town. It's in Stellenbosch.
No, but it's around that area,
yeah,
man.
Right. I don't know what you could have said.
I'm gonna say this is Stellenbosch, then you don't get Stellenbosch.
Yeah. Okay. A reality show where many people are in one house.
Big Brother.
Yes. Article.
The
It roars.
Lion.
When you're not awake, you
the lion sleeping.
When
the lion
there's morning and then this?
The lion sleeping at night.
The
lion sleeps tonight.
Yes. And then it's a, I don't know how to describe. Okay, name the cars that you know.
Porsche.
Nope.
Not a big Volvo.
The letter after. I was going to say letter before N is M, ne? Mazda. How do I describe a Mazda without saying the logo is an M?
Mazda.
Yeah, I was going there, but you said time.
Okay, let's do our last round. Okay.
We don't even know what points the points are.
Okay, in England, not king.
Queen Elizabeth.
No, no. Not princess.
Prince.
Name one of them.
William.
No, another one.
Prince.
He's now currently king.
Charles.
Yes.
Prince Charles.
Yes. Article?
The?
Mowgli is in the?
The... Oh my goodness, I watched this movie, man.
Okay. The a Grand Prix.
Is circuit,
is it? Yeah, but the one here in SA.
What is it? Kailami?
Oh, shit. I got it so wrong.
The, don't tell me the Jungle Book. No, not the Jungle Book.
It is the Jungle Book.
Damn. Okay, let's move on to a long topic.
You need
Okay. Okay, the food I was eating when you came in.
Chicken licking.
Yes. Article.
The
capital of this country is Kinshasa.
Eh? The capital of this country is
Kinshasa, yeah.
I don't know what
okay,
that is.
Okay, that movie where there's Dory. It's a kid's cartoon where there's Dory and they're trying to look for...
Finding Nemo.
Yes. Article.
The?
It's a band named after a bug.
The Beatles.
Yes. Congo, Kinshasa.
I don't even know why. How is Kinshasa related to Congo?
It's the capital, right? Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, the country whose capital is Kinshasa. Yes. Oh. Who won?
W describing from me.
Yeah, W describing from Kaya. Shout
Let's
out.
Go into the long topic. You know, we're 40 minutes in.
Okay, today's long topic, we'll give it 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Today's long topic is the weight we carry. So a slow road girl chat discussion, like what weight you carry. When did you first realize that being a woman here meant being unsafe?
Sure.
The weight we carry as women.
I think it's becoming increasingly obvious that we're unsafe everywhere, you know? When did I realize that being a woman is unsafe here? I think I've always known. Because my mother's side of the family, majority of the women are not married. Mm. And they're not married of their own choosing. It is the men who were the reason for all the marriages failing, right? Whether those men were physically abusive, financially abusive, emotionally abusive. So the women in my family's lives have been characterized by men that made them feel unsafe. Mm. And we've always, for as long as I can remember, we've always had each other. My whole life I've known, I think even just in my immediate family as well, was characterized by general unsafety. Mm. Even the way that we are raised as young girls. It's like
more strict with us
when it comes to where we go, when we go there, what we're wearing. We are always reminded of the predatory nature of men, whether that be as it pertains to our physical safety or as it pertains to our emotional safety. Our parents always, my mother always warned me about boys. Always. There's one thing she warned me about, it was about boys. She never warned me about the boy that would beat me. She never warned me about the boy that would sexually assault me. But she warned me about the boy that would get me pregnant and run away. So there was always just that lingering fear that I must always be alert around a boy, you know, because you never know what his real intentions are. Mm. And I think also when... I had access to the internet. That fear was amplified.
Yo, because now ten times.
Because now I see, oh my goodness,
Day, yeah. you are reminded that you're not safe.
Every single day when you have, you know, not access, but when you hear other people's stories, when you have the ability to hear other people's stories and their experiences, you become so paranoid, you know. And just the way that... I think even boys, was there ever a time where I was just friends with boys? I don't know. But I've always just had a general mistrust for boys, you know, and I moved carefully around them. When did you realize that being a woman is unsafe?
I think same as you, like since birth, like, okay, yeah. since realize being able to analyze situations and see them for what they are,
yeah.
I realized that women were unsafe. So a very young age, like, yeah. It didn't take long to know that, hey, alcohol safe, especially in this country, yeah. Like, you are warned, you are monitored, you are, like, there's no, like, I was not allowed sleepovers, and I never understood why until now. Like, funny enough, the only house besides my later on best friend that I was allowed to sleep over at was where there was a single mom. Mm-hmm. Where there was a father in the household, my mother said no. My mom would say, I would plead, beg, cry. Mm-hmm. My mom said, no. Mm-hmm. But funny, and I never, like, took correlation. Like, I never saw the correlation of, like, where I was allowed to sleep over, there were only women. Where there were fathers in the houses, I wasn't allowed to sleep over. So, like, from a very young age, I was aware that, mm-hmm. yeah, breathing in this country is a blessing, mm-hmm. because it's not a luxury that we have. Mm-hmm. What does fear look like in your life today? Like, the fear of not being safe. What does it look like in your life today?
I think not going out alone. Not refraining from doing anything alone, really. I think the only things that I will do alone probably is go to the mall or go to the gym. But I think even solo dates are now hectically minimized, you know, unless I feel like, oh, I'm suffocating, I need a break or whatever. But even then, I don't do those. I think feeling unsafe in the day-to-day just looks like overthinking and over-rationalizing my decisions. Mm. Like, thinking twice about my interactions with men. Maybe also just over-processing conversations that I have with men, or censoring myself in a conversation with a man. Like, for instance, if I'm talking to an Uber driver, I'm going to try my best to be nice. And I'm not being nice because I genuinely want to talk to you. Mm. I'm being nice because I don't know what not talking to you
is going to look like.
It's going to look like, you know. So I think that's what it is. But I must say that I'm grateful for the men that I do have in my life who care very much about my safety, who care very much about my well-being, and who make it easy to show up as a woman, you know, because I think being hyper aware and constantly alert, in fear and alert is operating in your masculine always. You know, that thing of checking your mirrors as a girl all the time and, you know, over rationalizing your movements is a very masculine trait. Men are the ones who are hyper aware, who check exit points, who, you know, over-rationalized conversations. And so I'm glad to have a community of men who allow me to put my guard down. Mm. You know, I know that when I'm with my partner, I don't have to think a lot about what's happening around me. If I'm with my father, I don't have to think a lot. If I'm with my brothers, I don't have to think a lot. So that's what makes me, that's a privilege, and I'm acknowledging it as one, because not many women don't have that,
like, those men in their life.
Men who they can count on for their safety. Men who can check up on them every now and then, who love them, who treat them with care and, you know, sensitivity, and are always there to listen, you know. I don't know how many times, you know, he does it in the meanest way ever. Hi, Christy, you do it in the meanest way ever. But he calls me every other day when I'm not home and says, hey, when do you come back? What time are you coming back? Should I wait up for you? Okay, I'll wait up for you, you know? And those are things that I do not take for granted. I thank my loved ones whenever I can, as much as I need to, because
it's not easy.
Unpredictable world.
I think for me, what fear looks like in my day-to-day life is same as you. Like, I don't go out as often. Like, if it were up to me, I'll be outside.
Yeah.
Especially now that I'm done with exams, like, I'd be outside every day. But now I have to be so mindful about, like, going outside, the time of day I go outside. Guys, I can't even walk to Campus Square to go get bread. Mm-hmm. Like, every time I 60-60, I have to, like even if it's just bread, I have to call up people and be like, who else wants to 60-60? So that, because you have to have a minimum, like, price and so on and so forth. Time campus square is like a 10-minute walk away, but I've had too many screams on that street to even make that walk, you know, whether it's during the day, whether it's at night. So I can't even go out and buy bread. When someone is calling me outside at night, like I think about it a lot. Like the moment I feel the slightest amount of fear, I'm like, okay, maybe that's my gut instinct telling me that today is my day of not coming back home, you know? And it's also like things like having, like sharing our locations with our loved ones and so on and so forth. Like, guys, it's so bad, guys. I don't have a normal life. Like, it's so scary.
Yeah.
It's so sad. Like, I would want to go out at night. I'd want to go out for drinks. I'd want to go out and have dinner, but I can't even have dinner alone because I'm like, I might not get back home. And it's especially worse with the nature of the job that we do, because we always leave set very late, you know? So it's like very scary every time I think about going home. I remember there was like a day.
I'm glad you're looking down. You got it, Ruby?
As I was saying, like, remember there was a day, like, we had to be at a Woolies thing in Menlyn, and, you know, I actually struggled to find my Uber that day. Mm-hmm. Like, I was there for an extra 30 minutes in the mall, and my Uber driver was telling me to go to some exit, and I didn't know where the exit was, and I walked, I was walking in the mall trying to, like, you know those things where you press to go and find, like, location? I remember, like, walking towards those things. The mall is deserted. Like, shop lights are closed. There's nobody in the mall. I saw two men from afar. I did that thing really quickly, scanned, and ran the other direction. Because I'm like, I'm alone in the mall, and there's two men. If they take me, and Menlyn is known for, like, kidnappings in the mall. If they take me, it's chai. Like, there's no one. The mall is deserted. And then even though we live in a country where, like, a lot of men make us feel unsafe, I remember I was, like, I was standing by the entrance, and I don't see this Uber driver, and the security guard, because I was walking towards, like, this direction was telling me to, and then the security guard's like, stop there. Don't walk out. If the person is coming to fetch you, they must fetch you here, because there's no cameras over there where you're going. Mm-hmm. And he stood with me, and he even spoke to my driver over the phone, and he told me that this person is playing with you. End the trip and go and look for another driver. And he stood with me until I got my driver who was taking me home. But even in that ride with my driver who was taking me home, it was really late at this point. At this point, it's like 9:30, 10. At some point in the highway, he started slowing down in the highway. And it was sounding like hazards, or I don't know, blinkers, I don't know what it was, but it was sounding like the hazards were on. And it was slowing down for like 10 minutes. And I literally asked him, I'm like, hey, is something wrong in the car, with the car? Why are you driving with your hazards? And why are we so, like, guys, we're going so slow on the highway? And then he's like, no, he was indicating. It's empty. He was indicating, and he didn't even move to the lane he was saying he was indicating to. And then he's like, yin yazu uyikwala. And I'm like, that is such a crazy thing to say. And I'm like, yeah, I'm a scaredy cat, yes. I share my location. Now I'm giving him all these things to make him aware that if you're trying to take me today, there are people who know I'm with you in this car type vibes. And it's the fact that I have to do all those things, you know. So it's my day-to-day is, like, so trash. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sure.
It's so trash, yeah, hey.
And I know there are a lot of women with those stories, hey?
It's
there's a lot of us with these stories and how hyper-aware we have to be.
And
I think safety-wise, right, I'll always advocate for Uber over Bolt. One, because Uber has a ride pin, so you can set a pin for your ride. Mm. When the driver's coming to pick you up, they have to give you that pin for the trip to begin, right? That's safety measure number one. Two, you can set your trips to auto-record. So whatever the driver says to you or whatever he says on a phone call to somebody else is automatically recorded by Uber. Three, if you're stationary or the car slows down for too long, Uber sends you an alert and says, are you okay? The car's been stationary for a while. Four, they have designated pickup points. So, again, if a driver picks you up away from a pickup point that you've chosen on the app, it will ask you again, are you okay? If it happens, like a situation like that, where the driver wants to pick you up other than where you set your pickup point to be on the Uber app, cancel immediately. Any red flag, always, always be. It's better to be paranoid than to be, than to have your eyes closed. Because God knows what could happen. So I'm glad that you listened to that guy telling you to cancel. Even with me, I've been taking Uber since Uber came out, you know? So I know if the driver does this, red flag. If the driver is taking, if they are close to the pickup point, but they go around instead for whatever reason, you cancel the trip. If they don't ask you, or if you give a suggested route, because it is your right as per Uber T's and C's to suggest a route for the driver to take, and they don't listen, you end that trip and you call the person who has your trip details and say, hey, please request for me or whatever, I'm here, get off. And you do that even before the car moves. So I'm glad that Uber has even with all of these measures in place, it is still possible. This is the country we live in. But
just be safe.
And I hate even having these conversations of like how you can be more safe. It's not even the kind of conversations we should be having.
The conversations we should be having is like, what is our government doing? What is our justice system doing?
Absolutely.
What are the measures they are taking? Absolutely. What bills are being passed? It's the fact that like it's not even like being declared a national emergency by the government, this thing. Like, child, what are the men in our lives doing? Like, guys, and
That's an important place to take the conversation. I think if you are a man watching this, if you're a male Jesty, join in the conversation. Let us know what you are doing to ensure the safety of your loved ones, your female loved ones, or even male, but primarily female loved ones here. I think what I would appreciate from... Dude, even that's why that situation with that person made me so mad. When they put you in the Uber at night, I was like, there's nothing that says I don't care about you more than that.
But, yeah.
If you're with somebody and for any reason they are unable to ensure their own safety and you couldn't care less, that person is not your friend. They're not your friend. Even with men, guys, we spoke about financial femininity and how it is important to trust your female, your God-given female instinct when it comes to money-making decisions. But that gut instinct plays a role in every other aspect of your life. If there is even a male friend, guys, again, better paranoid than asleep. If you are alone with a male friend and something feels off, they're moving to you in a way that you don't appreciate, you cut that man off quicker than a bad habit. Let him go. Because there is no friendship that is worth losing yourself over. Not even just yourself, but like your mental health. There are so many people become shells and echoes of themselves because they don't trust their gut instinct. But I really do want to implore our male audience to give in. Like, tell us, what are you doing? What don't you know that you could do? Because a lot of men can contribute to our safety in ways that they may not be aware of, you know? Because it's not just enough to, hey, please send me your trip, and then that's it. You watch the trip. There's no Uber trip in Joburg that's going to take you longer than 40 minutes. Just have that tab open, you know? Ensure that this person is making it through the designated points at the right time. Call if this person is not at home at a time at the ETA that is, you know, showing on the app. Also, don't how about you don't abuse? How about you don't rape? How about you don't touch a woman in a way that is inappropriate? How about you ask for consent?
The fact that we have to ask for these things. Guys, this is so sad. Like, this is so sad, guys. Yo, the Day of Judgment is going to be interesting. Yo, it's going to be so interesting, guys.
You know, I don't know if this might be relevant to the conversation, but there was this quote that, like... that always moves me when I read it, right? And it's why I sort of sympathize with atheists. the quote says, on the day of judgment, we will look towards God and ask, why did you allow this? Why did you allow this? Why did you allow this? And all we'll hear is echoes back. Why did you allow this? Why did you allow this? Why did you allow this? And it's sort of grim. It's a grim quote. But we need to understand the lengths of our free will, you know? And a lot of... It's, again, atheists say that religion is a way to avert responsibility.
We do. Oh, no, all my sins are forgiven.
Yeah, all my sins are forgiven.
1, 2, 3, that.
Or it's a way to sort of, what is it? Not medicate, but soothe. You know, self-soothe. That there is a day of judgment. But what if there isn't? What if there isn't? You know, it's nice to believe that. I mean, I believe it, but there's always like a little gap in belief there, where it's like, why did you allow it? Why did you allow it?
Why did you allow it?
Anywho,
I guess like, yeah, I think you've given us the tips. You know, another tip I can share besides like the Uber tips you've given, like I'm going to start carrying it, but then like I remember like in terms of like protecting yourself in like conflict, pepper spray over anything, over a taser, over okapi, over anything. Because with a taser and okapi, you need to be close to the person to use it.
Oh, yeah.
You need contact. And in a situation where something is wrong, you don't want to be close to a person who can overpower you. So at least with pepper spray, there's no need for you to be close. You just gotta spray it and run, you know? And that was advice a guy gave me when we were having a conversation to this regard. So those are the tips I would give, you know?
It's also so scary how perpetrators can hide in plain sight.
Oh, yes.
You know? We spoke about this two episodes ago, how, you know, one man can be such an incredible human being to some people, and then to one, just one. And he's a monster.
Yes.
You know? And even just like that hyper alertness as well with our male friends too. It's like, I like you. You seem like a good person. But
I still gotta be hyper alert. Like, I saw this one guy who made a TikTok, and he was like, there was a girl who was like pub drunk. Also, guys, let's avoid being pub drunk in public. Speaking from, like, let's avoid. Like, always be able to take yourself home on your own, like bare minimum, you know, avoid yourself being so. She was pub drunk in public, and she couldn't walk alone, and she just saw this guy, and she recognized him, and she's like, hey, 1, 2, 3, and he could see how in, like, she can't even like walk, and he knew where she stayed, right? And it's a gay man, and he knew where she stayed, and he was like, okay, I can't let her go alone. I can't send her off alone. I have to take her home. But then, like, I need to tell my friends that I'm leaving. And so he was, like, looking for someone who he can say, just stay with her while I quickly go tell my friends and I'm going to come back. And then he called a guy he knew, he trusted to be, like, a good person. And he said, hey, please stay with her while I quickly go tell my friends, and then I'll take her home. And then as he was walking away, a girl pulled him and said, why are you keep this making her stand with that guy? That guy has done this and this and this and this. And then he was like, oh my God. And then he quickly ran back. He didn't even tell his friends. And he got the girl and he sent her home. And he was talking about how, like, somebody can be a good person to you, but somebody out there knows who this person is, you know, and just not to trust anyone. And also to highlight the importance of speaking about who you're, like, guys, publicize your perpetrator so that the public knows who he is. Yeah. So we know that, Masibona loyo. You know, if the law is not going to do anything to him, at least publicize him so that the rest of us know not to associate with that man. Yeah. Whether he beat you, whatever it is, so that the next girl doesn't get into an abusive relationship with that man. Because you may have been able to walk away from it, but she may not be able to.
Yeah. Sure. And you're better off believing the woman.
Yeah.
You're way better off, I promise you.
This thing of like, not all of us, until I can use an Uber at night, until I can walk to go buy bread, it's all of you. I don't wanna, like, it's all of you. Because akubalanga la, kuthi it's not me.
And somebody gave such a wonderful analogy of it's not me or it's not all of us. How, I don't know if you heard the classroom analogy that she gave, where she said, if a teacher walked into a classroom that was once noisy, it's very foolish for you to say, ma'am, I wasn't talking.
Talking.
You
everybody wasn't.
Everybody was there and everybody was talking. If there's a group of people and every time you meet someone from that group of people, they do something to you, the wise decision is to stay away from the entire group. So it doesn't help you saying, oh, it isn't all of us. Stop that rubbish immediately, please. Also, it makes me so upset that they overturned their decision to publicize
the sex offenders list.
I couldn't believe that because I'm like, are you kidding me? You gave these people an in back into our society, mm-hmm. and we don't get to know who they are. Mm-hmm. Certain people do not change.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain ways that the brain is wired, that somebody allows their brain to become wired, that is unchangeable because they spent a year or two in jail. Are you kidding me? Pedophilia? You think somebody can stop being a pedophile? Ridiculous. You think somebody can stop being a serial rapist? Absolutely outrageous. And I think it's even more upsetting that an entire group of government officials said,
yeah, no, we're not going to release this. And you know what's so funny with the, is it Ulirato's case? How the guys were arrested the week prior for the same thing. The same thing, and they were released. Like, guys, you know what? Yeah, I don't have words. They were arrested the week prior for doing that to this. Like, the other girl, they didn't kill her. They just stole her stuff. But then they let them go and put them back into society to do the same thing. Like, it's really upsetting. Like, I know in the U.S., we can say whatever we want to say about it, but they publicize records for criminals. And all you do, like, literally before you go on a date on Tinder, there's a whole website. You Google someone's name, it'll give you all, everything about them. We don't have that.
For the rape capital of the world.
Yes, we don't have for number, we are number 3 in femicide in the world. Mm. Top three.
And we don't have that.
Crazy. I honestly, on a lighter note, I don't even think there's a lighter note. Stay safe, everybody. If you're a man watching this, move better. And if you're going to say it's not you, you're not moving better.
And keep your friends accountable.
That's what I'm saying. Move better by keeping your friends accountable. Yeah. Don't associate yourself with rapists. Actually, report them as well. Like, report offenders of any kind, you know. Yeah. Hold each other accountable. Look after and look out for your siblings, your friends, anybody who's a woman in your life, you know. And yeah.
Thank you guys for watching.
Yeah, thank you guys for watching so much. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. You enjoyed the 30 seconds. You enjoyed everything. I'm sure you did. And if you guys want to experience this live.
Don't laugh at our vocals, please. We're not singers.
Oh, no, I am.
Please. Hey, bro, guys, our live show is 17 days away. Okay. Can't contain the excitement. Second ago, Rosebank, July 17th, from 7 p.m. to
11, I think, Gable.
11. Guys, please, please, please come through. Let's rally behind. Remember, you guys commented 300, over 300 seaters ex-jesties. Now there's the cheetahs involved.
So yeah.
You better let us down, man. Yeah. Tickets are limited, guys. We are in one cinema, so there are only about 300 or so seats available, much less now. Much less now. So please get a ticket for your sister, for your brother and your mister. Yeah. Call me Master KG.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for watching. We are going to have a memberships conversation. Memberships is 39 Rand 99. instead of 100. I can't say that anymore, guys. It's been a year now. It's been the whole year that memberships has been $39.99. Yeah, yeah, we have some exciting content over on that side. We've got a Q&A. We've got a vlog that you guys need to see. And we've got extra conversation over on that side. More chill, more laid back. Yeah. Do you want to do the cues?
Oh, okay, subscribe, like, comment, share, do the right things, and buy your tickets. Click the links in our social media bios, which you can get in the description.
Bye. Bye, guys.